I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. I am joined now by the internationally acclaimed novelist Joan Barfoot. The former journalist joins me to discuss her 11th novel, Exit Lines. Of her previous books, Luck was a finalist for the Giller, and Critical Injuries was nominated for the Booker. Exit Lines' subtitle is a darkly comic novel about everything that matters, from sex to death. Also, there are reflections on friendship, mercy, loyalty, and cruelty, among others. A foursome of new guests at the Idle Inn, a sort of retirement home, decide to engage in small acts of pleasurable rebellion. The book, published by Knopf, retails for $32.95. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Joan Barfoot. Good morning, Ms. Barfoot.
Hi there, Joseph.
Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Did my sort of précis on Exit Lines sum it up?
Pretty well.
Did I miss anything?
No, I mean there are themes in there to do basically with getting old and how you do that and what's important and who's in control for one thing, and different kinds of choices, some that are much more serious than others. And I hope it's also funny.
It is funny from what I've read of it.
Oh, good.
Tell me about the character Sylvia. Let's begin with her. She's proud, independent, and caustic. Is that?
Yes, she's the widow of a lawyer. She's been one of the sort of leading social people in the city that these people have lived in. So there are class differentiations here, and she's a bit the leader of the pack in that way. But yes, she has a very sharp tongue. And one of the things that I wanted to sort of question and explore in the book is who are people when they're old? I'm guessing we're all pretty much the same as who we were, except maybe more so. But Sylvia takes no prisoners. Then there's Ruth Friedman, who is the baby of the place, as she puts it, because she's only about 75. She's a retired social worker, worked with a children's agency, like the CAS, I guess, and is more recently widowed and has arthritis and has moved in, but she has a particular purpose in moving in. Then there is Greta, who was emigrated to Canada from Germany after the war. They were sort of sent over by their families to have a safer, better life, presumably. She was widowed young, raised three daughters, and is a steady force. She's a kind of one-step-at-a-time person, because she's had a tough life, and so she deals with things by making one step at a time. And George, who ran a shoe store, owned a shoe store, and has been a kind of handsome, rakish sort of fellow, despite having a wife and a daughter, has had a fairly serious stroke. So while he can function more or less, because you have to be able to function in a retirement home as opposed to a nursing home, his language is, much of it is internal. He can think things, but he can't always say them very clearly. So those are the four main characters, the four main voices, and then there are some peripherals as well.
Now, George, he was having a relationship with one of the women. Which one?
With Greta, when they were middle-aged, I guess. She worked for him. That was, working in his store was one of the jobs she had to take after her husband died in order to be able to raise her three kids. And after a certain point, they fell into a relatively long affair.
I'm wondering where the idea of these four characters came from. You must have seen them somewhere.
No, I never write about people that I know or have met.
Really?
Yeah. I find, actually, that people that I create and spend a great deal of time with over 3 or 4 years and through many drafts and many considerings, I'm much more likely to know them better and down to the bones than I will someone I know in my own real life.
It's funny, because when I was in high school, I volunteered at a nursing home, and it was a Jewish nursing home here in Vancouver. And reading about these characters sort of reminded me of some of them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I just that's why I wondered if you'd met these people before.
No, and there is the difference that they make, too. They're quite clear about the difference between a retirement home and a nursing home, where the especially now, because people live longer, and by the time they go to a nursing home, they're much, much sicker. That's a whole different level of care and competence than in a retirement home.
How did you come up with the name Idle Inn?
Oh, it just tickled me. You know, there are those euphemistic names for places that aren't a bit euphemistic, and I think that would be one of them. You know, I can see a retirement home being called the Idle Inn because it the word idle has all those sort of meanings, from being idle in a different spelling to idyllic in this sort of spelling. So it's got all those nice layers that are funny.
Of the characters in the book, do you see yourself in any of them? You create them, so I'm assuming that something from you goes into them.
I have to assume that as well. So yes, I guess so. I think I have Ruth, the former social worker, has quite a line of sort of cosmic doom, that the earth is dying. We've pretty much killed that. Human nature does not improve with the eons. Evolution doesn't seem to work in ways that make us behave any better. It's a world of cruelty, and as well as of goodness, but you know, the things humans can do to each other and to their fellow creatures is pretty remarkable. So she has a that kind of outlook where she sees that, and it's all in one world, it's all in part of her world, that this catastrophe is going on. And I have that, I think. I possibly have a bit of, well, as much as I can manage, of Sylvia's sharp tongue. I do like a caustic tongue and a kind of take-no-prisoners attitude. Less George, I guess, because he really, I don't think we know George very well, because he can't express himself all that well. But when he does, it matters. When he can spit something out, it's something significant in the book. And like Greta, I do tend to try to just deal with things one at a time instead of getting all flapped out about individual moments. And I try to be kind, as she does. Not always successfully, because I'm in a battle with my inner Sylvia.
Huh. Well, one reviewer commented that you brought seniors to the fore so well. I don't read much fiction, so I don't know. Have we not seen books about seniors previously and the issues that they deal with?
Sure, there are some. Of course, there are some classics. There's Margaret Lawrence, the Stone Angel, that are amazing. I wanted to put people in a particular setting and see what evolves, partly because I'm a boomer and we're heading up there, and many of us have also encountered retirement homes and so on in connection with our parents and other relatives. And it's a really interesting to me environment, and it's an interesting prospect in terms of how boomers are going to deal with this, because we're so used to having our own way and running our lives and pretty much running the world to this point. We've been singularly blessed demographically, that I'm curious about how we're going to handle this. We're not going to be, I think, as kindly and amenable as perhaps our parents have been. So there's going to be, I would guess, an evolution in that regard.
Did you think about that, about your future, perhaps, as you grow older?
Oh.
That you would end up in a retirement home or a nursing home?
Well, I think any sensible person does.
And what are you
think about that? Not harp about it, but
yeah,
or be focused on it, but to understand that there, you know, life is unfolds in different kinds of stages, all the time. Different stages for each of us, I guess. But you know, you start high school, that's a stage, and it's a bit of a scary one, and full of unknowns. And you jump into a marriage, and that too is risky and full of unknowns. But we do it, and this will be another stage.
It's funny because I was thinking about my time when I volunteered there. I was in high school, and it reminded me so much of high school. So the sort of groups that develop, cliques that develop, the sort of people that are there.
And in any environment that happens, in a neighborhood, you know, like a suburban neighborhood, people will form into small groups in the larger group. So that's almost a human thing. And of course, people in a retirement home will do the same. It's what we do.
Pleasurable rebellion. What are some of the things that they engage in?
Well, there are small things, like making sure they've got enough wine on hand and not being bullied into, you know, accepting the standard one drink at dinner.
Yeah.
Into some quite large things that have to do with control over their own beings. Ruth, and I don't think it gives away a great deal of the book to say that Ruth moves there determined to die on her own terms, in her own time, and seeking some help with that. So that would be a fairly major rebellion.
Another reviewer compared the book to a Woody Allen film, some of Woody Allen's earlier films, I guess, sort of frenetic and funny. How do you react to when it's compared to something like that?
Well, I read that review, and that was a balance. That there was a paragraph before that said that it was a novel of ideas, done in a kind of domestic setting, and at the other end, it's also reminded her of a Woody Allen movie. Early Woody Allen movie. So, you know, a kind of range between a genuinely serious novel of ideas, which it is, doesn't at all mean that it's not comic. And that's, I think, what she was trying to say, that it's at the other end, it is also comic.
Do you read the reviews a lot?
Oh, yeah. If I, you know, they get sent to me, so sure.
Do you enjoy that? Do you, good, bad, or indifferent?
Well, I don't enjoy them. Any bad ones.
I guess no one does, do they?
I've never been attracted to those. But,
no.
But you know what happens either from both reviewers and readers is that those are fairly carefully thought out responses, mostly. And they often tell me something about the reviewer or the reader and what they're telling me about their own lives or their own what the emphases are in their own way of thinking. And that, so in a not terribly useful to me way, that it's really interesting. Anything that's interesting makes me happy, so I'm good with that.
Does that influence your writing, though? Did you take some of the things that people said about previous books and then sort of have those in your mind as you write the next one?
No, I don't think you can do that. You know, if you start taking what other people are going to think or want or think they want into account, then you're not doing your own work. And the whole blessing to me of being a writer is that you get to do what you want. You know, this is something that is pleasing to me and means a lot to me. And it wouldn't if I were writing to someone else's specifications in a way, or to please. I mean, I want to please, but I want to do it in my own fashion.
How long did it take you to write Exit Lines?
Novel, usually I will spend 3 or 4 years. I do a great many drafts, think about it over and over again, and because I'm in charge of my own life, I also have a very lavish vacation policy. I like to think I have a good employer in myself. So when I'm working, I'm really working. And when I'm not, I'm totally not.
So in terms of the day, do you wake up in the morning and begin writing, or do you write at a certain time of day?
I try to write in the mornings, although not first thing, because without coffee, I'm barely human. Never mind thinking. So I have a nice pot of coffee and read a newspaper and check my emails and do that sort of thing. But then, yes, I get down to work.
And is it, what you mentioned 3 to 4 years, is that full time? I mean, you mentioned also holidays, so.
Yeah.
Did you take a week off or here and there? Or?
Oh, now and then I take a month off.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm as I say, I'm a very generous self-employer.
And in that time off, do you read at all?
Oh, yeah. I read all the time. I mean, there are certainly writers who say, oh, I can't read anything serious when I'm working, but I need to read serious things. Serious, real work keeps my mind alive.
And in terms of what you read, is it sort of the same stuff that you write, or do you read all sorts of things?
All sorts of things. I read mysteries because, in fact, I review mysteries for the London Free Press, which I live in London, Ontario, because I like reading them. I enjoy reviewing them. But I don't review anything sort of consequential. But I guess as the more I've read, and I've read since I was a little kid, the more I want to have my socks knocked off. I really want something amazing. And often enough, I find it.
So on this tour, for example, do you write? Or
no.
do you just do that at home, I guess, right?
Yeah, I just do that at home. I can't, I don't multitask terribly well. So I want to enjoy this part because this, you know, this comes along only every 3 or 4 years where you're sort of out talking to people and talking to people you don't know, and flying around. The flying part, not so much. Airports are not pleasant, but since this only comes around every few years, I like to just full tilt it while I can.
And how do you write? Do you write longhand or on a computer?
Oh, God, on a computer. I have a background in news journalism, and you know, it's a matter of tools more than anything else. I can't imagine handwriting because it's too slow. I've always worked on, you know, either a typewriter or a computer because those are the tools I'm accustomed to from journalism.
And the next book, do you have that? Do you have ideas of the next book yet?
I have sort of faint, floaty ideas, but nothing very solid. And at the moment, determination, not the weather's good, life is good. So I'm not quite ready. Maybe when the snow starts falling.
Well, congratulations on this book, Joan. And I must say, I don't read fiction often, but when I picked up the book and read it, I quite enjoyed it a great deal.
Good.
Congratulations and continued good luck with it.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, Justin.
The book is called Exit Lines, $29.95 from Knopf. Joan Barfoot here on the Plant Online program. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Pano.